So we're going to start off with Colossians 2 as the jumping off place. And then we're going to go on to 1 Samuel chapter 12. So the Apostle Paul is writing to these believers who in chapter 1 verse 13 had been delivered from the power of darkness. They've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So we're in the kingdom of God now. And he's telling them this, but he's writing to them in a time where people were being lukewarm. That's why you got the context of Laodicea in chapter 2, verse 1. And he's saying, hey, I'm warning you because people can beguile you with enticing words. Now, you have to be real careful about what people say and what they don't say. I'm learning as I get older, and look, I've got a lot to learn. So, look, I know a lot of y'all are older than me, and y'all may say, you little whippersnapper, you still got a long way to go. But I will say this. I'm learning a lot about what people don't say is just as important as what people do say. What they do say. You can still have enticing words by leaving things out. I can learn a lot about when you get some of these folks, they may not say anything bad. They never say anything about the blood of Jesus Christ. They never say anything about being saved. They never say anything about knowing that they're going to heaven. You can tell a lot about somebody by what they don't say. And that goes for a lot of other things. He said, beguile you. He's saying, I don't want you to be beguiled. He's writing to them. I mean, he's having to tell them straight, but at the same time, he's having to keep a balance here. Here's what he said. Look at verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the truth. If you're going to be built up in him, you've got to be established in the truth. As you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you. Not like the spoils of war. Spoil you. Through philosophy. In vain deceit and the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So we're going to look into these things here again. Dad, would you pray for us, please?
Lord, we come to you in prayer this morning, Lord, just thanking you for being in your house. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here. Lord, thank you for this reading of your word, mm-hmm. Lord. In this moment, it's the truth, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, just thank you for being our Savior.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, I pray for all the wonders on the prayer list.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Paul's warning, that he's warning them here, and parts of this to show how it fits in a situation like we have today. You always have to build that bridge and show how does this apply, what he wrote then, how does it apply to me today? All right, now, one thing I want to bring to you as we're going to turn over to 1 Samuel 12 in just a minute, but the Apostle Paul is saying over here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now, that's the part I want to focus on a little bit today, the part of vain deceit. Vain, that's empty and deceiving. Because, see, the devil wants to beguile you with enticing words, and philosophy has to do with enticing words. And what's going on is you get to the place over here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to read some verses here now that we're here. In 1 Samuel 12, verse number 20, it says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then ye should, or ye go after, I read that wrong, for then should ye go after vain things. See, vanity. He said, vain deceit, philosophy and vain deceit. He said, then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. See, vain, look, philosophy, science, all the, that's not going to deliver. Your ideas aren't going to deliver. The world's ideas aren't going to prosper you, and they are not going to deliver you. All right. Now, that goes to say, that's implied in this, that people are going to say, hey, you're going to get profit. You can profit from this. You can profit from this philosophy. You can profit from this idea. Nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. He does it why? For Christ's sake. You know why you're saved? For Christ's sake. You know why anything happens? For Christ's sake. The Lord's name's sake. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Well, that's a statement right there. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Talking about all the preaching that's in here. Consider the great things He's done for you. I could preach a whole sermon on how great God is, how He's been to us. The fact that we're sitting here this morning, man, is the grace of God. He says, but if ye shall do wickedly, see, here's the if. Here's the other side of the token. Ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now what we have is he's trying to admonish them not to go further in their sin. They're getting the king in the context of this thing. They didn't want God to be over them. They wanted a king like all the other nations. He said, okay, you're about to get what you want. Now you think about that in our life. We want what we want, and we want it now. We want the world and we want it now. Instant gratification. God said, okay, now you're about to get what you want. And you might get what you want. But I want you to know you can still come to the Lord and serve Him. You see how merciful God is and how long-suffering God is. When you look at these things right here, the philosophy they have right here of this vain deceit they have is they want to be like everyone else. You say, how do you know? Well, whenever he started this thing off in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5, he says, this is what they say to him. All the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and said, and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. We don't want to go by your wisdom. They won't go by the old paths anymore. And thy sons walk not in thy way. That's always, look, if you don't want to serve God, you can find an excuse and you can always blame it on somebody else. I don't like the way they're doing. I don't like what they're doing. You can blame, you know what they're doing? Just blame it on somebody else. And guess what? If you want an excuse not to get out, the devil will give you an excuse. And it'll be a good one too. They got a good one right here. They don't want God to be over me anymore. And guess what? The devil will give you an excuse. It'll fit whatever your whatever philosophy you have. The devil will say, I got one for you. If you're not going to go by the word, I'll have you a good philosophy. And it'll fit just right. And it'll sound good. What? Beguile you with enticing words. They said, we got a good excuse not to serve. Watch it. It says, thou, O thou sons, walk not in thy way. Other Christians don't do right. They're not doing right. Well, you serve anyway and just let them not do right.
That's right.
See, it'll fit. Look, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You know what their philosophy was? We won't be like everybody else. You know what? The devil, once you're saved, look, all the devil has to do to get you off kilter is compromise. He's not looking for anything else other than compromise. That Bible tells you in Romans 12:2, Paul says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what the devil wants you to do? Have the philosophy, we'll just jump in and be like everybody else, like the world, and it's just easy to do. Why? I don't have to worry about confrontation or nothing else. You're going to have a confrontation, I'm telling you. If you're not colliding with the devil every now and then, and the demonic realm, you're in collusion with the devil.
Amen.
You're going to have a mental struggle there. Why? Because the flesh is battling the spirit. And I'll tell you something. The whole context, he said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, we're in a conflict. He said, I have a conflict for you. So you're in a conflict. Why? The devil's trying to beguile you with enticing words, trying to put something in your mind that sounds good that'll make you go against God. And he said it'll spoil you. It's vain, is what he's saying. Now, what we have to do is we got to be set apart. The Bible says, come apart, be you separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. You got to go against the grain of the world. Now you think about this. Who are you separate from? If the Bible says be separate, who are you separate from? I mean, if you really think about it, are you separate from anybody? There's got to be somebody you're separate from.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't have murderers. I don't go down to prison. They in the prisons. I'm separate from them. No. Here's the slant on the thing. Are you separate from people who love the Lord or who people don't love the Lord? If you don't know what group to go with on a thing, you say, well, I don't know who's right and who's wrong on a thing. Look, there's going to be all kind of issues come up in your life. Y'all know that. Well, are you separate from people who love the Lord or who people who don't? Whose side are you on? Yeah, are you separated from the people who love God and say, look, I don't need a king like that. I want God over me. Or are you separated from people who, well, they're just good folks, you know. I know a lot of good people going. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. I know some people right now that'll help you. You could call them right now, they'll help you. I guarantee they'd be here in just a minute. That don't mean they're saved. Just because you're good and you pay your bills and you go to work on time and everything, that does not mean you know God as your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, what I'm trying to say, here's the proper slant on it. In John 17:15, the Lord Jesus, and this is the Lord's Prayer, John 17. The disciples' prayers in Matthew 6, they said, teach us how to pray. And he told them, he said, thou Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's teaching his disciples. The Lord's praying in John 17. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We're in this world.
Yeah.
But you know what the Lord wants you to do is stay away from the evil that's in this world. You're going to have to function in this world. You've got to buy, you've got to sell, and you've got to get gain. You've got to do all that stuff. But he's saying, I want them to be away from the evil that's in. Now, are you separated from the evil while you're in the world? Avoid the very presence of evil. Abstain from evil. All these things. You know what? There's a warning, number one, to beware. He said, beware. All right, beware lest any man spoil you. You got the philosophy today of the more sin you put up with, the more you love the person. Well, you know, I know that's wrong, but we love them, you know. Well, look. Loving somebody, liking somebody is two different things, and loving somebody from a distance is a different thing. Look, God so loved, past tense, that He gave. I have to remind people of this over and over and over. If you want to find God's love, you're going to find it in Calvary. Why? You're going to have a whole bunch of group of people. Well, God just loves me. Okay, well, that same God who said He loved you enough that He sent His Son, one of these days, if you don't trust His Son, He's going to say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. The issue is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I love old so-and-so. All right, well, do you love Him enough to tell Him about a Savior? People, I love old so-and-so. All right, you love Him, do you? You love Him enough to let Him just die and go to hell, huh? Never even tell Him. I tell you what, we're living in a world that's covered up from, they cover things. I tell you what we do. I've been examining prayer and stuff like that. You know what we'll do a lot of times? We'll pray for something just to clear our conscience. I prayed about it, Lord, and just keep on doing it. You know what we do? We pray and say, God, help me. When you have no intention whatsoever, quit doing what you're doing. You see how we do? We use love and we use prayer and we use... And you know, I wonder how many times we're going to get up there. And I've just been examining, as I've been examining this stuff. All these songs we sing, you get up here and I'll follow thee. No, none go with me. Still I will follow and all this stuff. And we get up there and the Lord says, you know, every idle word, you know this verse. Get up there and the Lord said, now you were singing this song right here. And I want to just test this out for just a minute. Let's throw this in the fire and see what that comes out as. Looks like wood, hay, and stubble to me. You see how we did? Why? Because we get in these philosophies and this sounds good, and before long we've talked ourselves into something using a philosophy and not going by the Word of God. And you know what He says? You better beware of that, lest any man, that's you too.
Yes.
Lest any, we fool our own, I'll fool my own self a lot of times before somebody else can. I can talk myself into things and out of things you could never talk me into. I'll get out there and talk about some, man, this sounds good right here. Okay, well, is it going to be something to get you closer to the Lord or not?
Yeah.
Are you going to have to depend on God to help you? Or are you going to depend on the world? Mm-hmm. We need to get to a place where we depend on God. You say, there's all kind of marks of false philosophy, and I'll go over a few of them before I get into this other stuff about 1 Samuel. But it's profitless speculations. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:4, speaking to people who use the Word of God wrong, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. I'm not going to argue with you over words and stuff like I don't know anything about. Some of these words, some of this stuff people talk about today, I have no clue. And guess what? I don't have to know. I just trust God on it. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Evil surmisings. You know that fits philosophy. Why? Because if you surmise something, you just believe it's just going to be so and so. I just think it's going. Well, the way you think has nothing to do with the way God thinks. Oftentimes, you're just surmising that something may happen. You don't know. You don't know. What I'm telling you is that's a philosophy. Evolution. I don't call it evolution so much. I can't say evolution. Evolution. That's an evil surmising. They don't have no. They have no proof whatsoever that we came from monkeys or whatever. Well, how come they aren't still evolving? You can't observe it. They say, well, science is supposed to be observed. Well, they deny their own law because they can't observe it. Has anybody observed a fish turn into a man? No. Well, it's just an evil surmise. That's just a philosophy. What I'm telling you, that's the same. We can do the same things as Christians. You know what I've observed? I've observed the walk of faith prophets. I've observed walking by faith, by grace, through faith. I've observed if you'll walk close to the Lord, He'll give you joy unspeakable. He'll give you power in your life to make a difference in the life of others. I've observed myself that walking with the Lord is worth it. I've observed that. And I'll tell you something, that beats any philosophy. It's purely human origin. It says after the tradition of men. It goes back to elementary principles. What? That's the rudiments of this world. It just goes back. Well, this world, that's elementary. You know what we can do? We've got otherworldly wisdom we can tap into. It's hid all in Jesus Christ. It's hidden in Jesus Christ. You know what? My life is hid with Christ in God. You know how I can find it? You know how you can find it? Because I'm in Him, I can find those hidden with it. You know why a lot of people, they think the Bible contradicts and they think that's crazy in the way y'all believe it. Why? Because they can't find it because it's hidden in Christ. All that Bible just don't make any sense. Well, it doesn't to you because you're not in Christ and it's hid in Him. Man, ain't it amazing to be able to tap into something this world can't touch? It's Christlessness. It's philosophy. It says, and not after Christ over there. Now, here's the thing I want to get into a little bit more today is it's destructive. He said it'll spoil you. It'll spoil you. Like a thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we got to be warned about this. So this is what Samuel is warning these people here about this empty deceit, this vain deceit. I read this by a man named S.H. Leary. He says, the gospel to be preached in its purity. He said, astronomers tell us that the light of the sun is pure white light, but when it comes into contact with the atmosphere of the earth, it becomes discolored simply because the medium through which it passes is impure. So it is with the light of heaven when it passes through the traditions of men. You have to be careful about what you're letting things pass through when they're coming through your mind. We talk about keeping that filter clean. If you don't let that word keep that filter clean, sometimes, y'all, you get up in the mornings and maybe you don't have time but just for a few minutes of reading. But if you'll read for a few minutes, you may not even remember what you read, but that reading will keep that filter clean, believe it or not. You'll come across something and you'll say, that just don't match that verse right there. You know, a lot of times, I've said this before, something will come across, and I've told Carla, I've said, I can't put my finger on it. Something's just not right about that. I think we may need to rethink this thing. Or you ever done that? You ever say, I can't tell what it is. Something's not right. You know what's going on? That filter. You've been keeping that filter clear, and that idea that's coming through there is not passing through that filter right. And that vain deceit. You're holy. That Holy Spirit on the inside of you saying, hey, I don't want you to go that way. That's vain deceit. Now, here's some things you wouldn't ever believe that's vain deceit. Well, as we're in 1 Samuel chapter 12, I want to show you one thing is this right here. An example of how to beware is the vanity of thinking God will not allow repentance. Your mind will tell you some of the most crazy things you've ever heard in your life. I've went too far. I've done too much. Oh, I've sinned a lot this week. Oh, man. You know what he said in verse number 20? He said, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not. We talked about fear in Sunday school this morning. People use fear as I just scared. Well, over and over and over in the Bible, God tells you, fear not, be not afraid. That one man was afraid, so he hid his talent in the earth and things like that. That is not a valid excuse according to the Bible. I'm just scared of so-and-so. Well, that's according to the Bible, you're supposed to fear not. Now, what thing do you fear oftentimes? You fear that, hey, I've done all this stuff and I've done so much, I can't get back to God. You know what he's saying? Ye have done all this wickedness. He recognized they'd done. What was the wickedness they'd done? They wanted a king. They wanted an earthly king more than they wanted God. You know what? Oftentimes we want other things more than we want God. You can fill in that blank with all kinds of, we want our comforts, we want all these things more than we want God. And He's the God of all comfort.
Right.
He gives you everything you want is in Him, but we want it without Him. Does that make sense? I hope that, because I know for me, as I'm thinking about these things, sometimes to the human mind it doesn't make, we think, I can go search for comfort, I can go search for joy, I can go search for peace in this right here. But if you search for Jesus, He is our peace. He is our comfort. He is our joy. When you search for Him, you find it. Why? Everything's hid in Him. When I search for Him, I find everything I'm looking for. But if I'm searching for what I'm looking for, I'll never find it, because that's only temporary peace, that's only temporary comfort, that's only temporary joy, because it's all in Christ. You'll find the temporary part of it. You say, well, God can never allow repentance in me. I've just done too much. Yet He says, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Just keep following Him. Just keep following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart. You can serve the Lord with half heart. I believe there's people today who's serving the Lord. I believe that. But they're serving God half-heartedly. He says, you know what you need to do? You know what your problem is? You just need to serve Him with all your heart. You know what the issue is? A lot of people, they love God. But the Bible said they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You love Him like Brother Dennis preached that time, but you just love something else just a little bit more. You know what the issue is right here? He says, you better beware, because the devil will make you think, hey, I've done too much. I've done had a bad way. I've done none of that. And God won't take this repentance. I'll tell you what. We've got the God of the Bible who said, I know you've done a lot of wickedness, but if you'll come to me and keep following me, I'll let you follow me. That's the God of the Bible right there. You know what kind of attitude they had? They developed later on in Ezekiel 20 verse 32. This is years after this right here happened. You know what they said? It said, and that which cometh into your mind, he knows what's in your mind, shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. Let me tell you what you can do. Once you're saved, you can try your best to be like the world. You can try your best to have the same philosophy and same mind. It won't work anymore. You can try it, but it's not going to work. Why? Because you're going to be grieving that Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will not let you get away with it. You're going to be the most miserable person you've ever seen. Why? Because that Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and it keeps saying, that's wicked, that's wicked, that's wicked, that's wicked. And everybody else is doing it. Man, they're just loving it and having a great big old time. And deep down in your heart, you know you're doing wrong. And guess what? God's going, I don't like that. I don't like that. Follow me with all your heart. Follow me with all... You're not going to fit in with it. Why? You're saved now. You're saved. And man, I tell you something. You're talking about a miserable person as a Christian, not serving God, knowing He could come back. He wanted them to follow wholeheartedly, according to verse number 20. Not only that, but there's a vanity of staying in a rut. In verse number 21, it says, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things. Now here's the thing, the immediate danger was not for them just to do a sudden, just 180, boom. You know what people are not going to do? I've seen people do it. I've been preaching a little while, not long, but enough to know this right here. People just don't all of a sudden, boom, they're gone one Sunday. Or boom, they're gone one day. You don't see that. You know what he says? He said right here, you should turn aside. Turn ye not aside. It's just like, you just start slipping just a little bit. That's how it happens. It's little by little getting to a place of you're not pure anymore, then you lax, and then before long you're completely given to immorality. That's how it happens. I thought about this right here. There are going to be things in your life that either can change you for the better or the worse right then when they happen. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it's after a serious thing's happened in your life. You're either going to get way better or you're going to get way worse. Little by little. The Bible said that Enoch, after Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God. Something happened when that child was born. Enoch started walking with God, and he walked with him every day until he walked with him plumb one day, and he just never come back home anymore. He was gone. Well, you know what? You know they had to be looking for Enoch. Where's Enoch at? I don't know. I hope one of these days, man, I'm just walking along, stepping along like this right here. And look, it would bless me if I was preaching. I'd like to be just stepping along like this right here. And I just tell you, my foot never hits the ground. Next thing I know, I'm up above the tree. And the next thing I know, I'm in the clouds meeting them together with the Lord. Well, that's going to be a blessing right there. There's things that happen that change you. But I want you to know this right here. He said, thou shalt not go aside to the right hand or to the left. So what happens is this. It's just a little bit of turning aside. Before long, you slip down in that rut. You ever done that? I had a good friend of mine one time. We were riding dirt bikes, and I love him, man. I'd call his name, but he was telling me, he was teaching me how to ride a dirt bike. And I just got me a new dirt bike, and he said, stay out of the ruts. Stay out of the rut, they'll make you have a wreck. And guess what happened? I got in a rut and I had a wreck. Had to get back up and get out of the rut. You know what he's saying? Don't turn aside, don't get in the rut. You know what we'll do? Before long, you get in there, you're getting close, and you'll get right in that rut. And I read something that was really neat about this thing about getting in a rut. And I'd like to give credit for the guy, but I don't know which one it was that said it. But he said, amid the glaciers of the Alps, an explosion is sometimes heard announcing the birth of a crevice. At first, the young fissure is almost too slight to be seen, and at no place is it wide enough to admit a knife blade. But the almost imperceptible fracture eventually becomes a gaping, impassable chasm. So it is when we break with good. The great gulf fixed between the lost and paradise begins to fall, hardly to be discerned. You know what he's saying? That thing that becomes so wide you can't even jump across it starts off as a little place that you couldn't even get a knife blade in. That's how it's going to start in your life. You know what's going to happen? One little thing's going to come across, and before long you don't look at God the way you used to, and you don't really look at the Bible reading like you once did, and you're not really excited about finding something neat in the Bible. And before long, you're not praying. Well, then before long, you're getting to where you've lost your joy, and then before long, everybody else can see it but you. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, when something's going on, we're the last ones to find out about it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we have taken that philosophy and we have deceived our own self. Be ye doers of the word over there in the book of James. And you can take that moral principle. And you know what it says? He says, deceiving your own selves. Mm-hmm. We can deceive ourselves. Empty, vain deceit. Emptiness will lead you to deceiving yourself. You get an emptiness inside, and you got to start telling yourself that something's there. Oh, I really do have something there. And God's saying, hey, that fellowship is gone. I hadn't talked to you in no telling how long. And before long, you just get that old attitude. And you know what? He's warning you. He's warning you not to do that. You think about things being loose in your life. You know, I've never been on a ship very much, but I've read about ships. And they say that, you know, if you got something loose on that ship, especially something on the deck of that ship, they say, man, you start hitting wind, especially if you get in a storm, that thing will slide all over like a bucket of water. Some of that slide all the way over there and slide all the way over here. You know what? We're on the ship of life, so to speak. We're compared to as vessels in the Bible, and vessels are like ships. So guess what? You better have things in your life anchored to something. You better have them tied down to something. It's not the rope that you give the glory for holding something down. It's what it's tied to. You know what you have to do? Tie yourself to faith. Tie yourself to those anchors there that are in Christ Jesus that are steadfast and unmovable. You say, how do you be unmovable? You got to tie those areas of your life to something that won't move in the storm. You say, well, we're in a storm right now. Tie it to something unmovable. Well, my faith is shaky right now. Tie it to something unmovable. My joy is shaky right now. Tie it to something that is unmovable. And in the storm, it won't bother you. I thank God. Some of y'all, I know you do. You got something tied to something, to an unmovable anchor, and that anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's unmovable. That's how come you get through day by day by day by day. Why? What's loose and what's kind of shaky? You just tie that thing up. The rope don't get any glory. It's just a simple fact that it's tied to something that's stable. And Christ is the rock. He's stable. Not only that, but he gives them the reason for confidence in believing. Verse number 22, he says there, and turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And then he gets over here in verse number 20, I read 21, verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Number one is the confidence is in his great name. He's got the name above all names. You know what the Bible said? The Bible tells you over in Proverbs 22:1, it says a name is rather be chosen than riches and gold. You know what we did? When you trusted Jesus Christ, you trusted the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. My name is now no longer Chase Maskew. That's my earthly name that you know me by, but my name is fixed in Jesus Christ, and that's rather be chosen than riches and gold. Why? Because all the riches and all the treasures are hidden in him, and I'm in him.
Amen.
I've chosen that name. He said, for his great name, everything that's worth anything is tied in that name.
Yes, sir.
You know what we are? We're anchored in that name. You say, what if everything else falls? Let it fall apart, because all things consist in him.
Amen.
And brother, the whole universe could come apart, and I couldn't come apart. Why? My name is in Christ. Well, the world's falling apart right now. Let it fall apart. Why? Because I'm in Christ and he can't fall apart. He'd just make it back again.
Yeah.
He said, what if everything just come unglued? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ made this earth, you know, just made it without even thinking about it with his finger. He made me of the dust of the ground. I think if he did that right there, I think he can put the pieces back together pretty good, don't you?
Amen.
That's our Savior. It's his great name's sake. I like this right here. Here's Moses going out to do a job, and Moses said he couldn't speak too well, couldn't talk too plain. He said, I'm not eloquent. And I tell you, sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I've listened to some people say, well, you said so-and-so in your sermon, quoted that wrong, and I'll go back and check it, and I think, I can't believe anybody even listens to me. My, you don't know how country you are till you listen to yourself. Moses says, I'm not eloquent. And you know what? He said, who do I say sent me? And God says, you just tell him I am. You just tell him I am. Is that simple enough for you? I am. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ comes, and that's our Savior. You know what he said? He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. You know who's going to take care of you? I am. You know who's the one that I'm looking forward to seeing is I am. He's self-existent. He needs no one. He needs nothing. God without us is still God, and us without God is nothing.
That's right.
He is I am. Who are you? Is this simple enough for you? I am everything you need. I am, I am, I am, he says. I am the Amen. Amen. That's truth right there. He is the truth. You say, well, I'm looking for things to get better. You're not looking for the right thing. I'm looking for things to get worse. You're not looking for the right thing. I'm looking for Jesus, the AM, I am, because in his name, in his great name, that's why things get done. You say, what's going to get done? Because of his great name, not because of me. I may mess up today. I may mess up. I may let you down tomorrow. I don't know how many people have already let down. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's never done anything wrong. Never. And never will. It's his great name. It's tied to that. Not only that, his great name is chosen nation. The Lord brought Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he started a nation over there. Starting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and started that Jewish nation, started those people there. And you know what? He says, Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Pleased Him. Now here's a people. They just told him, said, look, I don't even want you to be our king anymore. We want a regular king. That same God said, hey, I'm pleased to have you as my people. You think God didn't forgive him? You know what? We're greater than His people, man. I've told you before, we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. It pleases God. It pleases God to have you yield to the Holy Spirit of God and do something. He wants to do something in and through you. Mm-hmm. Pleases God. I think about that great nation right there, you know, and that nation of Israel that's getting so much persecution and stuff like that. You know what I like about God? All those promises that He made in that Bible and toward that nation are going to come true one of these days. You know what God's going to do? He's going to get up there and He's going to set it up and He's going to make them the head and everybody else the tail, and He's not even going to take a vote on it. He's not going to ask you how you feel about it. He's not going to ask the United Nations Assembly, what do you think I should do with Israel? He's going to say, Israel's the head. You are the tail. You will come to Jerusalem and you'll worship up here. And you'll do what the King Jesus says. I like that. I like that. You say, what's going to happen? What's the world coming to? It's coming to Jesus Christ is what it's coming to. Man, I like that. I like that. Well, it's stormy weather on the way. That's fine. He walks on the water. Maybe He's giving you a storm because why? All your enemies can't swim. He just walks on water. They couldn't swim in Noah's day. You can't look, you're not going to outbeat the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to outthink Him. He's already there. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's already got it figured out. Here's the last thing, the warning of a believer. He knew he had to answer for self one day, Samuel did. Look at verse number 23. He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. He knew what he needed to do. Now you think about this right here. I'm not going to have to answer for anybody else. I'm going to answer for myself, and so will you.
Amen.
For our service to the Lord, I know some of these times I probably sound like a broken record, but this stuff is good. I can't answer for my children. If I could, I wished I could, but I can't. They will have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And you personally, y'all will have to have a personal relationship. Why? Because you are going to have to answer. Samuel said, I will do this. Y'all can do this other thing. I'm not going to sin ceasing to pray. Y'all may not be praying for me, he's saying, but I'm going to pray for you. Now, you know what our job is to do? Our job is to pray. The Bible tells you, I know priest in the Old Testament, but the context has to do with verse number 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants on the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. So, you know what he's saying? He said, I'm not going to sin and not praying for you. Somebody asked for you to pray for them, you should pray for them. You say, how do you know? Because you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Timothy, I have to say this over and over and over, because why? I'm having to read these same verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. God don't care what you think about it. He said, giving of thanks, what? Be made for all men. Lord, I know I got so-and-so, and he don't like me, or she don't like me, and this, that, and that. Yeah, but I want you to thank God for him. Yeah, I don't understand why I need to thank you for. You don't have to understand it. You may be, look, there's been people who hated me years ago, now we're friends now. Hey, there was an old boy. Me and him, every time we saw one another years ago, we thought we had to fight one another. We'd pull over and fight and get back in our vehicle. We couldn't stand to see each other. Couldn't stand to even meet each other in the road. Guess what? We're friends now. That's why you never know what that relationship is leading you to. You never thank God for them. Got a good enemy? Well, thank God, you'll know how I feel. I got enemies. We have fellowship on that. We can talk about it a little bit. Well, Lord, old so-and-so, you don't know what they've got going on? Well, okay, well, I've had the same thing going on. Let's have the fellowship of your sufferings here. Tell me all about it. We'll have fellowship over it. Tell God about it. He can handle it. He said, for kings and for all, Brother Chase, that's you, for all that are in authority, that we may what? Why do you want to pray for them? He gives you the reason that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You know what I want? I want y'all to remember to pray for everybody. Why? I want us all to be able to lead a quiet and peaceful life.
Amen.
There's a whole lot worse things can happen. I tell you something. What all's going on in our nation and nations around this world, it's better than having a war.
Yeah, right.
See, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, war is God's judgment on sin here and hell is God's judgment on sin hereafter.
Amen.
The last thing you want to do is have a war. You know what you need to do? Be praying. You better be praying. I'm telling you that. Well, that's what that Bible says. Because he didn't say, well, I want you to figure out whether he didn't say that. He said, I want you to pray. You know what's letting me know? As I see things going on, I see that things going on right here. Everybody wants to talk about it and figure everything out instead of just praying it out. Some things you can't figure out. You have to faith it out, like the old preacher used to say. You know what we're going to have to do? You're just going to have to faith it out. Faith, knowing that God is able. I know I said the other thing was the last thing, but y'all listening so well. He said the reflection recommended to other believers in verse number 24. He wanted to remind them on who to fear. Verse number 24, only fear the Lord. You know what he started out over there in verse number 20? Fear not. You know one of the biggest issues that's going to come up in your service to God is what do you fear? In life, you write it down. What do you fear more than you fear God? For different people, it's a different thing. He's reminding them on who to fear. Fear God, that'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
You know what I'm realizing in Christians' lives? You get to talking to some of these people, the fear of God is not before their faces at all. And I find it in my life oftentimes too. We don't fear. You don't realize, yeah, you were saved, and man, I like to tell you that, and I like to talk about eternal security, but you forget that you have a God in heaven that made your body, that made your eyes. Have you ever got on the internet and looked at eyes and how they function and how they focus and how they're able to peripheral vision, all that stuff? That God that made just that eye right there and made sure that thing could function with your body right and your big toe gives you balance in your body and things like that. That same God is the God who saved you, and that same God is the one who's able to sustain you. And for us not to fear Him, man, that's a fearful thing, man. You take this lost world and they don't fear that God, I just can't get it. But you know why? It's because they don't know Him like you do. They don't. This world no longer knows the God of the Bible. But they're getting ready to know Him. They're getting ready to know Him. He said in verse number 24, there's a constant reminder to stay faithful. He said, fear the Lord, but serve Him with all your heart. Just stay faithful. Look, I want to remind y'all. When we get up in the morning, you know what, Brother Chase? If God gives me the grace, I want to paraphrase it with that right there. Because if it's not for God, I won't get up.
Amen.
But man, if God will have grace to let me serve, guess what I can do? If I can't do anything else, I can just try to stay faithful. Well, with what I have, I can get up tomorrow and say, Lord, I may not even be able to leave the house tomorrow. My back may be messed up. Man, I may have I have ailments happen sometime. But I can be faithful. I can be faithful. That's something all of us can do. Here's the next thing. A constant reminder of His faithfulness. Verse number 24 again. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Now, this is what I'd like for y'all to do. Instead of going home, And as soon as you get there, turn on that television and look at all the bad things that are going on. Because look, there's plenty of bad things going on. But there's plenty of good things going on. Look at this good right here.
Amen.
There's good things too. I want you to do something. Sit down and consider how great things He's done for you. Just sit there and consider it. Consider the fact that right now we're still able to hold a Bible in our lap. Right now, we're able to enjoy our family. We're able this morning just to think about Almighty God. The fact that you're not lost and on your way to hell, that's a consideration right there. I could have been born in another nation. God could have allowed me to have been born in some of these nations that don't even consider God at all. But man, when I consider the great things of God, when I consider how great He is, you think about that song, "How Great Thou Art." He's considering the bird, just looking around at the birds in the sky and how all these, just the breeze and everything. When I consider all that, how great Thou art. My God, how great Thou art. Man, when you consider that, that'll change your whole attitude right there. That's what He's saying. Consider that. You know what? You start consider that right there. When He gets to this final warning about if they continue to be bad, we won't have any excuse. He said, but if you shall do wickedly. And they've done a wicked thing here. Look, you've got a choice. Look, God will take you. You know what? If you're not serving God right now, God will take you. Take you right. And man, He'll start using you. And He'll start helping you. And He'll start helping you get close to Him. We just got to consider all the great things. But He said, look, you continue to be bad, there's going to be repercussion. For saved people, let me tell you what you'll do. You'll end up getting out of fellowship and doing a lot of damage. A lot of damage. You think about these people. I thought about this question. Maybe I need to ask somebody who knows the Bible really well. What if they had repented? What if they'd said, you know what? We have messed up. We don't even want this king. Tell that guy to get back in the crowd and go back and help his father Jesse and just never maybe it wasn't Jesse's father, but anyway, go was it Kish? Was his daddy? That's right. He go back and help old Kish, and we just want God and God. We sorry, but I want you say what would happen? God would have figured it out. God could have done something different. You say what would have happened in the Bible, if Eve had not been deceived and Adam hadn't ate that apple, guess what happened? God would have figured it out. Why? Because you got free will. This morning, you got a free will chance. You can either take right now and consider great things God's done instead of considering everything else you can consider and say, God, today I want to serve you. I want to serve you wholeheartedly and I want to follow you. Because why? Your great name, you're worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy. You know what He'll do? He'll take you right in. You're able to rejoice. You know what He said in closing? In Colossians, He said, rooted in verse 7, built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught. Taught. He's teaching you something here. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what it all starts with? Considering what He's done. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. And that'll keep you from being deceived. Thank you, God, for what all I do have. Thank you, God, for all this thing. Why? I'm not even worried about that one tree I don't have, that beguiling. I'm not worried about all this other stuff that I don't know. I'm thanking you for what I do know. I know the main thing. I know Jesus Christ. Let's close. Brother...